I want to welcome everyone to the evening service of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church in Vancouver, British Columbia. My name is Larry Saunders, and I'm the interim pastor for the congregation, and I want to give you a very warm welcome to the service tonight, and I trust that we will know the Lord's presence and help with us. If something goes wrong, as we are simulcasting tonight, I am speaking on Zoom, and it's being broadcast to sermon audio as well. So I trust you will be patient if we have any difficulties. And if you are having some trouble connecting tonight or at any service, hopefully you'll be able to go later on to sermon audio and then download the message, audio or visual, in order to get the message from the Lord's word. That's the most important thing. And we are very thankful for God's grace in giving us this technology that enables us to be able to communicate the word of God across the entire world. I am never ceased to amaze that as people would notify us through our services, they may be listening from some far-off place in the world, and it's a blessing to know that God's word is going forward. One of the hymns we were hoping to sing tonight, but we're having a little technical difficulties, was "I Have No Other Plea." That's a great hymn, you know, because it deals with the fact that Christ is the center of the center for the child of God. There's nothing else and no one else that we would want to have in our life. I have no other argument. There's no other way that I can approach the throne of grace, that I can come to the Lord, but on the ground of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the ground of Calvary, on the ground of his glorious resurrection and of his ascension into heaven, where he is now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And believer, be assured tonight that Jesus Christ is interceding for you. He is holding up your needs before his Father in heaven. And that is a great comfort for the child of God. I have no other reason, no other defense, no other argument. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. May God's name be glorified in our service tonight. Let's bow before him, please, now in prayer. Our eternal Father and our loving God, we pray this evening in Jesus' name that we will be very, very conscious of your presence with us. We ask for the help in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open the Word of God to our hearts, to enable us to pray, to give us hearing ears and understanding hearts. Lord, I pray that we will know that reviving of soul, quickening of heart and spirit, and that we will be drawn ever nearer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We want to walk close with him, Lord. We want to know that intimacy of fellowship. We pray that as we awake from our beds in the morning, we'll be very conscious of the Lord walking with us. And as we rise for the day and go about the responsibilities and duties that we have, may our minds be constantly in communion with our Lord. And as we set our heads upon our pillows at nighttime, may we go to our sleep rejoicing with joy that is unspeakable as of thy holy word, resting in this truth, Lord, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We will say, as the psalmist, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Lord, you have separated from us as far as the east is from the west, our sins and our transgressions. They have been washed away by the precious blood of our Redeemer. Thankful tonight that we believe in the doctrine of the atonement of Christ and of his redemption for his people that was purchased by his own precious blood. Lord, we come to pray tonight on the blood-sprinkled pathway. We come to approach the throne of grace with all authority, and no one is able to turn us away, for we are the children of the King. He is our Redeemer. We belong to our Savior, and he belongs to us. Father, we are very thankful tonight for this hope that you have put within us, a hope that cannot be taken away. We will never be cast off. We will never be in hell. Lord, only what is in front of us is an eternal bliss. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we will lift up our eyes by faith, for our redemption draws nigh. Give us, we pray, a holy anticipation for Christ's return. And Lord, let us be watching and waiting. Let us realize that when our Lord comes back again, it will be for the destruction of all enemies, of the devil and all his angels. It will be a receiving to himself of all the blood-bought elect. And oh God, today we are so thankful that we are among that number. We have been called and chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we are thankful for that great and everlasting truth tonight. Dear Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon us this evening in this service. I am asking, Father, for great blessing to be poured out upon every member of the Cloverdale Church, that you would be with everyone who is an attender and every extended family member. Lord, there are unsaved loved ones, and we pray for their salvation. There are those that have gone cold in heart and drifted away, even into a backslidden state, maybe for a long period. Lord, I am asking tonight that you would revive those hearts and quicken those souls and draw them lovingly, Lord, back to yourself. I pray that there would be, Lord, stir up and quicken every heart. Lord, take away from us coldness and deadness and lethargy. And I pray that we will know the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in every area of ministry and work. Father, we are asking for your ongoing blessing upon Reverend and Mrs. Gallagher. We ask, Lord, to go in front of the congregation as each one is praying for a man to be set over the congregation. Send an under-shepherd, we pray. We do not know who this person is, but we know, Lord, that there is no surprises with our God, and that you know the end from the beginning. Therefore, give us faith. Help us to rest in the Savior tonight. Lord, remember the works in Prince George, in Victoria. Be with dear souls that are there in that fellowship. We pray that their hearts will be encouraged and they'll be strengthened and built up. We ask, Lord, that you would bring a man to that congregation of people and that the work would be consolidated. We ask to bless the work in Penticton with our brother Foster. Encourage him, Lord. Bless him in his own family. Lift him up, and may he know that we are praying for him and for his people across Canada and in the foreign mission fields. Remember our churches in Barrie and Fredericton and Port Hope, especially Fredericton without a pastor as well. Remember Brother Cranston in Port Hope and Brother DiDerno in Barrie. Be with our church in Toronto. And Lord, help us in our Christian school. Remember Whitfield Christian Schools and bless, we pray, under this time, let not the devil have his way. Let not the attack of the evil one in any of our churches get the upper hand. We pray, Lord, that you would rebuke the devil and that he would flee from us and that we would know the holy joy and the peace of Christ in our hearts. Help us, we ask, Lord, in the challenges of life that we face, to always keep our eyes fixed upon the Savior, how he is depicted for us in the Ark of the Covenant, in all of the building material, in the content of the very Word of God inside that wooden chest. Dear Lord, we know that in Christ is the law of God kept perfectly, and we pray that we will see all the types and shadows of our Savior constantly in the Word of the Lord. We think of the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and also Brother Fitton, who will be coming, Lord willing, via Zoom next two Lord's days. Bless him, I ask. Give him the Word of God directly for the people here, and may their hearts be lifted up and blessed. So be with us now tonight. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. There is another great hymn, Be Still My Soul, The Lord Is On Thy Side. And that has always been a precious hymn to me, especially when we consider there are so many obstacles in our way in life, and there are so many things to upset and to destabilize us. But as we were reading in Psalm 46, verse 10 today, this morning, be still and know that I am God. This is the word of the Lord. We want to rejoice in him tonight and be very thankful that we can be still in him. Let me welcome all of you to the evening service tonight. Those of you who have already joined via Zoom and those who are watching on sermon audio, you are very, very welcome. If we can be of any assistance or help to you, please email the church address that comes up, the email address that will be on the website for Cloverdale, and someone will be sure to respond to you. My name is Larry Saunders. I should introduce myself. I'm the interim pastor. The presbytery has asked me to be in this position of an assistant, a helper, in order to assist the congregation in the days and months of a new minister, and also the responsibility of filling the pulpit with ministers and trying to keep that arranged. And I am working very closely with your elders so that we are sure that we're all on track together. And I look forward to also having good fellowship in the meetings with the deacons as well. Just before Reverend Gallagher retired, I was able to join up with a session and board meeting, and it was a blessed time. I was encouraged by that, and I want the congregation to please be in prayer every day for your elders and for your deacons, that the Lord would bless and guide with every decision, as these are difficult days that we are ahead, and that the Lord would make the congregation there a bright testimony and a witness. Yes, corporately as a church, that's for sure, but also individually, in your own lives, in every place that you go, and every person that you come in contact with, that God would make you a bright light. I pray that for myself. I pray for our own congregation. There will be lights in a dark world to shine brightly for him, and that we will be salt, because salt is a preservative, as well as giving a savor to those we come in contact with. Let me remind you, please, of some important ministry. First of all, tomorrow evening, a reminder to the elders that we will be having a session meeting, and that will be at 6 p.m. your time. And then on Wednesday night, the prayer meeting and Bible study at 7:30 as normal, and one of the elders will be taking that service. And then please remember next Lord's Day at 10:30 in the morning and 6 p.m. And again, Andrew Fitton, Reverend Andrew Fitton, who is resident in Calgary now He is not pastoring at this point in any church, but he's looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you for the next two Lord's days. So please be in prayer for these brethren, these men who will be coming to preach, and that we will be able to hold them up before God in prayer. Let me say that if you want to get in contact with me, anyone in the congregation, via email or phone, please let Brother Alan Samuel know, and he can forward you, email you my email, my contact information. I'd be happy to speak with you during this very important time in the fellowship. One thing I wanted to remind you of, and I intended to do it this morning, but I'll do it now anyways, and that is just today, we have launched a new ministry in Toronto. This ministry is for children, for the boys and girls, and it's called Behind the Wall Bible, Children's Bible Messages. And a couple in our congregation have taken up this challenge in this work. And so there are 20-minute video stories for boys and girls. And the first one was launched today. So if you would like to get that for any of your children in your family and parents, I encourage you to go and just connect up and see what it's all about. So you'll find it on the Sermon Audio Toronto webpage. And so if you turn up there, it's under the, you have to scroll down a little bit. It's under the series, and it's called simply Behind the Wall, or BTH. Well, it's BTW. That's kind of a funny name, and let me just explain to you why that was. Some years ago, I began doing messages for boys and girls in our Sunday morning service. And beside the pulpit, there is a small wall that just kind of blocks where the choir would sit. It's about just a half size. And I would put a little object or an illustration behind that wall. And so I kind of called it that. Well, what's behind the wall this morning for the boys and girls? And that's how this name has come about. I think you'll find it encouraging. And I would ask you to pray for Daniel and Rebecca Siman. They're the two from our church that are heading up this work. And those are all the announcements I have for you this time. I want you to turn for our first Bible reading tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The book of Exodus, chapter 14. We're going to read from verse 10. This portion of the Word of God, as you will quickly see, it has to do with Israel that had left Egypt, and after Pharaoh had reluctantly let them go, he changed his mind and he began to pursue them. And so we find that Israel, they were hemmed in on every side. On one side, it was the wilderness. On another side, it was a mountainous area. Behind them, Pharaoh's armies were marching quickly. And in front of them was the Red Sea. Let's pick up our reading then at verse number 10. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let me just remind everyone who is on Zoom, if you would take a moment and be sure to mute your microphone. I think there's one or two that are live at the moment. So please just be sure you mute your microphone. And Alan, if you would see to that from an administrative point there, that would be helpful. I'd like you to turn to our second Bible reading tonight, and that's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. And I want just to read the first three verses, and then we will pause for a moment of prayer. The Apostle Paul writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking tonight that as we would be settled now before the Word, and the Spirit of God would come to take the Scripture and write the truth upon all our hearts, I pray there would be no distractions. I pray, Lord, that you would help me and give me that anointing from heaven to and without error. I pray that you would give to everyone listening this evening hearing ears and understanding hearts. And Lord, that the Scriptures would be on our minds, in our hearts, and worked out in our lives. Help us, Lord, we pray tonight. We are weak and feeble creatures. We are broken because of sin, and yet praise and thanks be to God that we have, and tonight we are the children of the King. I ask, Lord, that if any listening this evening are not saved, young person, younger child, older person, that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to Christ. Hear this prayer, Lord. I'm asking in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, I would leave with you the four words that are found in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, where it says this, let us go on. Let us go on. The situation that now faces the congregation in Cloverdale, it presents an opportunity to look back, to consider where you are right now with thanksgiving, and then also to be mindful of what is ahead for every family, certainly for the congregation, but also for every believer as an individual, as we earnestly seek to rededicate our lives to the Lord and to His service. You know, friends, there's a danger in our Christian lives of getting stuck in a rut, just going through the motions of church or of Christianity, doing what is expected, saying the right things, looking the right way, while our hearts may be cold and distant and even stagnant. You know, as the mother eagle stirs up the nest, she actually starts to deconstruct the nest, pulling all the straw and the bits of grass and anything else, taking the nest apart while the young chicks are still in there. And why is she doing that? She is doing that because the time to learn to fly is for them. And so, you know, sometimes the Lord will stir up the nest of our lives because He wants us to learn something more. He wants to take us to another level with Him. He wants to prove us and try us so that we will press on, press forward in the service of Christ and for His kingdom. We are called to serve the Lord. We have been saved to serve Christ. But it all starts with a willing heart. Yes, to come willingly and offer ourselves on the altar of sacrifice for service. You know, rededication to God and His work, it does not have to be earth-shattering. I mean, there may not be a thunderbolt or a lightning from heaven, but in order to be legitimate, it does require sincerity within our hearts and a desire to give to God what He has given to us, namely, all that we are and all that we have. This means that with purpose of heart, we will present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is His reasonable service, to place ourselves willingly into the hands of God for whatever He wills. And friends, this will be a step that you will take as a believer, because the Lord doesn't force that upon us. And if He has blessed you in your life, and if you sense His Spirit stirring your heart, then cry out to Him even more, that He will take you further up the mountain of fellowship and of service for Him. But before we take this step, I advise you to stop and count the cost. Are we prepared for what could come? What if God required more than we were willing to give when we surrendered our life on the altar? It's easy for us sometimes to speak the words, But to humbly submit to such a thing when it comes, that's entirely different. In this, my dear friends, tonight, I speak to myself. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. Because it's one thing to preach about it. It's one thing to talk about it. But it's vastly different when it is required of us as we place ourselves before God. You know, whatever God will ask of us and however he proves our faithfulness, whether it is by trial or surrender, we all must, and I emphasize this tonight, we all must go forward with God. We all must go on with God if we are going to experience his best in our life. In order that you and I will be conformed to the image of Christ, pressing on in his work, proving God's sufficiency, seeing our Lord Jesus magnified more and more through our increased love for him and an increased desire to live our lives to his glory. You say to me, preacher, that's a tall order. Yes, my friends, I know it is. Just as it was for the Hebrew Christians in Paul's day, who were, well, let's just say they were hindered by some immaturity in their faith. It appears they did not have a good grasp on the doctrine of eternal security, that once a person was saved by God's grace, they could never be lost. Yes, that's the teaching of the Word of God. Thinking you could be saved one day and lost the next and then saved again, it has caused much confusion and weakness in understanding, please know this, in understanding the value and the power of the cross work of Jesus Christ. For if a person could be saved today and lost tomorrow and saved the next day again and lost the next day, it places a great minimalizing of the value and the power of the work that Jesus did on the cross. This made the Hebrew Christians rather ignorant of some of the deeper doctrines of the Bible, and it led them both to question and to doubt. They were unstable in their walk with God, or as Paul put it, they were uneducated. When they should have been teachers, they were babies. When they should have been adults, and were not able to take the strong meat of the biblical truth, everything had to be kind of mushed or pureed. It brings, my dear friends, a host of problems, ranging from, you know, pouting for not getting our own way, to complaining about the vegetables on the plate. Yes, that's right. Some of the boys and girls, you may have done this. I know I did when I was very much younger. Oh, do I have to eat this? Oh, do I have to eat that? It's childish behavior. But sometimes Christians, we can be like that too. Paul is teaching that the evidence of Christian maturity is going on with God. It's growing in our faith. It's developing a strong spiritual appetite and producing good fruit unto God. If this is not happening, there is a problem that must be fixed, my friends. For if the ground of our lives produces thorns and weeds instead of good fruit, our faith is either, well, very immature, or else it is false. So where is it, Christian? Is your faith weak tonight? Do you have to say, Lord, I need help? Well, that's a good place to start. Just cry out to the Lord and say, Father, I need your Spirit's help that I might grow in my faith. You know, the Lord Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And you know, when he said that, he did not mean temporary life. He meant full and real life. He meant that when he saves abundantly, and he saves eternally. And no man shall be able to pluck out of the Father's hand those that have trusted in him. Do you have that full assurance of your salvation tonight? When God saves, he saves and he keeps. And the true Christian will persevere unto the end. Yet this truth does not negate or turn aside our responsibility to obey God's word. We must strive, persevere. We must press forward to go on unto perfection. Would you please notice tonight, in the first place, that we must go forward in our own personal walk with Christ. If we are asking for the Lord to lead the congregation forward, if you, believer, are seeking God for a new minister and want to carry the church on, then it's incumbent upon you to be sure that your own personal walk with Christ is what it should matter. Devotions to God without our heart, why, it's nothing more than something that is vain and monotonous. It's just a formality. If you're not progressing with the Lord, then really you have no devotion with God tonight. And I don't mean, friends, to be hard on you. I don't mean to be scolding anyone. I'm simply presenting a challenge and saying, as I do to myself, I need to go on with God farther. I need to go higher up the mountain with the Lord. And I want that in my life. And I hope and pray, my brother and sister, that that's exactly what you want. The very word devotion, why, it has to do with being devoted. Human relationships that are not worked at and cared for, they will decay. This is a word for husbands and wives tonight. Because if you neglect your relationship, husbands to your wives, wives to your husbands, and if you become just quite careless about your relationship, and you don't make an effort and try and work at it, then it won't be a surprise to you when you find the relationship is, well, it's grown cold and there's not much life about it. To be friends in our family. Sometimes, you know, when relationships go bad, it's because of selfishness. It's because, well, I want things my way, and my attitudes become careless toward the other person or other people. That's a real problem. But the strength of a relationship, humanly speaking, will be self-sacrifice. It will be asking the question, how can I serve the other person? How can I give myself to them, other than saying, how can I get the stuff for myself that I want? And the same holds true, friends, for our Christian walk. The strength and the health of our Christian walk will be determined by the attitude that we have toward God and his word. and what place the Lord holds and his word holds in our lives. You know, God told Joshua at the beginning of his ministry when he took over after they had come into the promised land, he told him the pathway of success, both for the nation and for him in his personal life, was a careful adherence to the word of God. Listen to these words in Joshua 1, verse 8. God told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Prosperity and success in God's kingdom, in the work of the Lord, it is by careful, watchful adherence to the scriptures. Don't let your daily Bible reading become just a formality. Don't allow your quiet time to be squeezed out by other responsibilities of life. Psalm 91, verse 1 tells us, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So how can we go forward in our personal walk with God? We will do so by knowing the Bible and obeying it. We will do so by walking in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We will do so by praying the scripture into our heart with meaningful devotion. And it will also be by cutting off sinful habits. As David said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Let's be honest with ourselves. The Lord has also told us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So yes, we go forward in our own personal walk with God. In the second place, we must go forward in our resolve to stand for and defend the truth. To stand for and defend the truth. Back in the year 1555 in England, two men were martyred at the same funeral pyre. It was Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley. They were put to death by Bloody Mary because of their faithful preaching and adherence to the Word of God against the errors of Roman Catholicism. And those two men, they were pillars in the church in that day. And simply because they refused to stop preaching the truth, they were done to the death by that wicked, wicked tyrant. John Huss, several years before that, in the Bohemian Republic, July the 6th, 1415, in Constance, Germany, he was burned to death because he was not prepared to surrender the gospel truth and stop preaching the gospel. These are only examples, a couple of them, but there have been many, many godly men and women who have suffered for their faith. But you know, tonight, you and I have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That means we have not suffered martyrdom. We have not suffered persecution whereby we have been beaten. No, we have not done that. It may well come in our land of Canada yet, because our Christian liberties are being eroded. Do not make a mistake about that. Let's stand and pray that God will hinder the evil and he will bless that which is good. And to this end, friends, be sure that you are praying for those in government places, praying against wicked and party politics and praying that God's word would be set forward again in our land. Give to us God-fearing leaders in high places. But you know, sometimes a stand for God's truth will have to be taken among the family. Isn't that the hardest place? Yeah, I think it is. Among family members, among brothers and sisters, older brothers, older sisters, parents, aunts, uncles, sometimes it's very, very difficult to take a stand for the Lord and to do it graciously and to do it with the spirit and mind of Christ. Sometimes it's easier to say nothing. And also, when we have to take a stand with friends or people who we are workmates of or associates. But it's also an equally hard to take a stand in the fellowship of God's people when things are not right. Let us always be careful, friends, and always do what is right according to God's holy and infallible word. So yes, we must go forward in our resolve to stand for and defend the truth. And in the third place, we must go forward against all opposition and difficulty. Against all opposition and difficulty. And this will be done, first of all, internally, in the inner man, in our own spirits. We are our own worst enemy. At least I know that for myself. I am my own worst enemy when it comes to, well, just my own lack of spiritual growth, the flesh warring against the spirit, the flesh not wanting to do what the spirit knows should be done. Yes, and we're not no different. All of us are the same. The flesh is warring against the spirit continually. The great apostle Paul realized that this was the climactic battle that he had to face in his own life. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He knew the internal struggle. He said, "The things that I would do, I don't do them." He says, "The things that I shouldn't do, those are the things I do." And he was grieved in his heart. He knew that it was not what he wanted, and it was not the glorifying of God. And so, friends, if we're going to go forward with the Lord, it will be an uphill battle. It will be against opposition and difficulty. It will not be an easy road. Anyone who determines to go on with God, you will find there is a devil, and you will find great opposition in your life internally. That's why the Lord has told us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. But in that resisting, you will come away with some scratches and some cuts and some bruises, no doubt. The battle is fierce, and we're warring against the world and against the flesh and against the devil, this trilogy of the enemies that are around us. It's not an easy road, friend. Being a Christian is not easy. You know, the world looks at a Christian and think, "Oh, that's just a cop-out. You know, that's just a cheap way of trying to get through life because they don't want to face what the real challenges are." They have no idea, because it's not until you declare yourself a follower of Christ, then you realize there is a devil and there is a great force. And as Paul said in Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We face a great enemy. But thanks be unto God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That is a great hope we have. Praise God tonight for that. Join him exceedingly. Yes, we must go forward against all opposition and difficulty internally in the inner man. But friend, it's also going to be externally. It's going to be outside. We must continue patiently. Romans 2 verse 7 tells us, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. And he uses this word patient continuance. That means going on through thick and thin, through opposition that will come even among other Christians sometimes, externally. But the opposition that's coming against the work of Christ from outside, from the secular world, from those that are so opposed to the Bible and right thinking. Yes, friend, we are in a battle. We're in a warfare. And we have to realize that as we are going to determine to go on with God, the devil will be angry. The enemies of the Lord will come out of the woodwork and they will oppose us. Don't think it a strange thing when you are opposed or people speak ill of you, but rather realize that you are following in the pathway of your master. For if they call Jesus Christ Beelzebub, in other words, the Lord of the devils, that's what they called him, the Son of God. Will they say anything less of us? Maybe we should begin to be more concerned when people aren't saying those types of things against us. Yes, friends, let us by patient continuance, going on with God in our personal walk, in our defense of the truth, and in the face of all opposition and difficulty. And I close with this tonight. In the fourth place, we must go forward with God in our service for him. The Lord calls us, you know, to be instant in season and out of season. But what does that mean? Sometimes people read that verse and they're not sure what it means. To be instant in season and out of season. What did Paul mean? Well, he meant this. He meant that sometimes you may feel like serving God. There are other times when you don't feel like serving him. There's sometimes you feel filled with joy and you're going to take over the world for the Lord. And other times you feel, I can hardly move. I feel like there's cement blocks on my spiritual feet and I can't move. Well, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, whether the opportunity seems to be easy or whether it's very hard, the Lord has called us. The Lord has called us to be instant in season and out of season. What opportunities, my dear friends, has God given us to serve him? What talents has the Lord blessed you with? 5, 2, the number is not important in that sense, but it is how you use them for the extension of the kingdom of God and for his glory. We must go on with joy, knowing that he is faithful who has called us. So let me conclude with this. You ask the question, so how is it that I can go forward with God? Well, friend, it's going to be with your spiritual resolution. You're going to declare, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. You're going to declare that. With a holy determination, I want to live my life for the Lord. But you can't do it of your own strength. And this is where the third part comes in. It is with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Don't think you can do this by yourself, friends, because you cannot. There is only one way you're going to be able to serve the Lord efficiently and effectively, and that is with the power of the Holy Spirit day by day. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Friend, if you don't know Christ tonight, my message this evening has been to believers. But if you're not saved, I challenge you, don't let this night go into eternity without calling on the Savior, repenting of your sin, inviting Christ into your heart, and you will find that He is a Savior who you will never regret having in your life, because He is the one who gives life and who gives it more abundantly. Let's bow before the Lord now, please, in prayer. Father, I pray that the word of God, the admonition that Israel was given by Moses to go forward, the admonition that Paul gave, let us go on. Father, we would take heed to this tonight. That you would have your perfect will being done in our lives. That we will walk by faith and not by our sight. Hear our prayer tonight, Lord. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to you tonight. And again, if I can be of any help to you, if you have any spiritual questions, then by all means, email, and we'll see if we can help you and give you the answer from God's word. And most of all, you would know the joy and peace of Christ in you. May the Lord be with you, and take care until we meet again. Good night.